John Williams in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Well, if I want to play, I think, cut number three and then four from Mayor Lightfoot's. It's kind of funny to say Mayor Lightfoot, isn't it? We've always said Mayor Emanuel, and we've been saying Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot, but for the last couple of hours, it's been Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who made her first address in that capacity at the swearing-in ceremony with other executive officers and the aldermen and women of Chicago today. You may have heard that live here on WGN Radio. And she said she's going to run on reform, and by golly, she delivered that message. Let's just play cut three. This is her following up where she said in cut two, reform is here, and she got a lot of applause. And then she followed that up by saying the little guy too often has to foot the bill.
That means restoring trust in our city's government and finally bringing some real integrity to the way this city works. When public officials cut shady backroom deals, they get rich and the rest of us get the bill. When some people get their property taxes cut in exchange for campaign cash, they get the money and sure enough, we get the bill. Family with the bungalow, the lady who runs the hair salon, the guy who owns the store on the corner. They aren't powerful or big or well-connected, but they end up paying when our government is corrupt. This practice breeds corruption. Stopping it isn't just in the city's interest, it's in the city council's interest.
She looked at the men and women of the newly elected city council as she said that. And for 40 uninterrupted seconds, they applauded and applauded and applauded. She called them corrupt and the place went bananas. One of the aldermen who was behind her was Ray Lopez. He's from the Back of the Yards, West Englewood neighborhood. And he joins us now in studio on WGN. Welcome to the show. How are you?
How are you?
What did you make of the ceremony today? What did you make of the mayor's speech?
You know, I think it was an awesome opportunity to be a part of something historic. The first openly gay black woman to be mayor of the city of Chicago. For me as a gay man, it was a great feeling to be there. And I wish we could have had more of a celebratory tone as opposed to a confrontational, everyone standing behind me is corrupt and I'm defending you against them and their evil mechanisms.
That's what it felt like to you?
That's exactly what it felt like, because even in that clip that you just played, that 40 seconds of uninterrupted applause, she put her back to the people and gave almost the entire city council a dirty look, as though we all somehow have some nefarious plot in our backyards to steal from everyone that we come in contact with.
She campaigned on that kind of rhetoric.
Well, now campaign's over. Now you have to govern. And, you know, she made it a point to say this executive order is going to be in place today. It's going to be effective. We're going to end corruption. And if you read her executive order, you know, one of the couple things that strike me as odd is that it's not even an immediate. It's, you know, when practical, we'll start enforcing this, or in 60 days, we'll start looking at this.
What is aldermanic privilege?
Aldermanic privilege, put simply, is the alderman's ability to lead their ward by starting projects, demanding concessions that benefit the neighborhood, or stopping things that are dangerous to the community. You're not going to have individuals who are bad actors be able to just walk down, check some arbitrary boxes in an application and get their way.
You could be a benevolent king, but it's been described as the aldermen are in charge of their little fiefdoms. They are czars. They're kings. Would that be an inaccurate statement?
They are very much in control of the wards that they represent, I'll say that.
And it is an opportunity for good that way, because by golly, the buck stops and starts here. But she said that's also the seed of corruption.
You know, 30 of my predecessors, aldermen, have gone to jail for various things, including abuse of that. But how many more have not gone to jail? And truly, if you want to get at the heart of all this, then you should focus on where they're sending where they're doing their abuses, and that's to their side jobs. And if she truly wanted to do something transformative, ending aldermen as being part-time and making them full-time employees would have been a much better fight. I would have been right there with her to say that's where we need to go with this, but she's not. She's focusing on littler things that are an easier and easier political win, like block parties and yard sales. And you know what? I'd love to see City Hall try to manage 16,000 yard sales.
Well, but I believe, let's just skip Elif if we can. Elif, just step back into your spot there, Elif, and let's play track number 6. So she said, you're going to lose your aldermanic privilege if she gets her way. We'll get to the mechanics of that in a minute. She said, don't worry, though, you'll still have plenty to do.
That our aldermen will not be able to make sure that the street lights are working or the parking signs are in the right place or any of the thousands of good things that they do for people every day. It simply means this. It means ending their unilateral, unchecked control over every single thing that goes on in their wards.
So you'll still be able to manage the tree trimming and the stop signs and the constituent services.
So, but even then, that's like trying to have your cake and eat it too, because technically that's not in my job description. Technically, that is, if you call 311, forestry comes out. You have a light out, Bureau of Electricity comes out. It's when the alderman injects themselves into a situation to say, hey, my constituents are suffering because the services aren't being delivered. That's when an alderman steps in. So she's trying to say both. She's trying to do both things and neither at the same time. And she, you know, it's basically just a ploy to keep her political promises.
Ray Lopez is in our studio, one of the aldermen who was sworn in today for a fourth term, correct?
Second term.
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah. She also said, and she might have turned again and looked at Ed Burke when she said outside income. She said, we have to end that. What are your thoughts about that?
I don't think I heard her say that, but that is something that I actually introduced last year, that aldermen should be full-time aldermen.
Cut 4, Elif. Maybe I'm reading more into that than I should have. But this is cut 4, and this is after she got that 40 seconds of applause for saying the little guy too often pays the bill. We need to end aldermanic privilege. And then she said this.
No official in the city of Chicago, elected or appointed, should ever profit from his office. Never, ever.
She was almost yelling at that point, and sometimes over the cheering of the crowd, she said they should never profit from their office. I guess that could mean political power, but I also was thinking of Ed Burke when she was saying that.
Well, I mean, if that's, in my opinion, outside employment is the true birthplace of corruption in the city council. And if that's where she felt that her focus should have been at, then she should just come right out and say it. Dancing around the subject and saying, you know, people shouldn't get rich while they're in public office, I completely agree with. But to come out and say where the real issue is, and she failed to do that.
Well, I think she did not fail to say that. You just don't agree with what she said is the root of it. She said it's aldermanic privilege.
But privilege is towards steering things to their other people. By saying that, you know, people should not be getting rich while in public service, how do they get rich if it's not from their side job that they're steering business to?
But then what is the fix? If I want to put a parking lot at my Burger King restaurant in your ward, I've got to get you to sign off on it. And since you're a czar, you get to say fine, but wouldn't it be nice if you made a campaign contribution or if you did some tax business with my private firm
over
here?
So, you know, that's actually a very simple fix. First off, going back to no outside employment, so there's no firm, no anybody to reference business to. And two, you also say that you can't accept contributions from individuals trying to do work, trying to access city government 6 months before, 6 months after. Zero contributions. Right now, you can donate up to $1,500 6 months in either direction. That should be at zero. And those are two concrete ordinances that we could do when we meet on the 29th that actually would have some teeth behind them other than this executive order, which she has put out today.
Alderman, it's Steve Bertrand in the newsroom. I have a question about the mechanics of this. And, you know, she says she wants to end the aldermanic privilege. Is that codified somewhere that you had? I didn't think it was. I thought it was just kind of an understanding among aldermen. And if that understanding remains among aldermen and, you know, you're not going to vote against an alderman with something in her ward, how does she stop it?
So therein lies the problem, Steve. And we mentioned this. I know I specifically mentioned this during our briefings, was that even if you take us out from the front end and it's something that requires legislation on the back end, if that alderman still doesn't support it, it's still not going to be seeing the light of day out of the city council, because now the opportunities to address things that the community might have been concerned about have not been given the full vetting that an aldermanic intervention would have.
So
and you're going to set people up for this false expectation that the alderman's still not going to have input or final say, but they'll be in for a rude awakening when it comes before city council.
So what you're saying is if it involves a vote before the city council, aldermanic privilege is alive and well.
You still can't legislate how aldermen vote.
And so if your colleagues knew that you didn't want that business in your ward and that business has applied for a permit to build there, they're going to defer to you still. And she can say, we're going to end that. I'm going to sign an executive order. But there was no previous order that mandated it. You're
correct.
Telling me that the aldermen are still going to play ball the way they play ball.
More than likely, if the local alderman says, you know, applicant X is, you know, not a good player. He's a bad actor in the neighborhood. And even though he got all the universal checks right on the initial application, I do not support this. I would hope my colleagues vote no against it.
But Alderman Lopez, you're assuming that you're playing an ethical game. What if, in fact, the reason you were saying that guy's a bad actor was because he didn't steer tax business to your accounting or law firm?
But again, and that is the crux, because if you wanted to get at the heart of where the corruption lies, privilege is just the vehicle. The heart of it is the side jobs. The heart of it is the contributions. And if you're not taking away that,
okay,
you're not answering the question.
But how realistic is it to tell? Do you have a job outside the city council?
I do not. Actually, I think about 30 of them do not.
Of the 50?
Correct.
So
you're making over 100 grand, right?
Yes.
I think we should think long and hard about your solution, too. That is it practical to tell, or even smart, to tell professionals in various fields that they have to quit their job in order to be on the city council?
You know, I think we've gotten to a point where people want to see change. We know that people want to see change. And if you're serious about rooting out corruption, that is the best way to do it, in my opinion. We know there are sacrifices when it comes to public life, and being paid well over $100,000 to be solely focused on your ward and
yeah.
doing things the right way is not a big ask. Shouldn't be a big ask.
What was the vibe among the aldermen after or during that speech?
You know, there was a lot of looks to each other. I'm sure there were a lot of people who were scratching their heads wondering, why would you use such an auspicious occasion to basically declare war on the people that you're going to need help with, dealing with pensions, dealing with $800 million budget shortfalls, dealing with police contracts, as well as ratifying and approving your cabinet members.
You heard that applause.
No one's ever going to not applaud for rooting out corruption. It's how we get there. I applauded for rooting out corruption. The devil is in the details.
But if you can't have a job, your husband or your wife could have a law firm, and you could still be steering corrupt money there, right? I mean, there's always going to be a way for the bad guys to get around it.
Well, you know what? I mean, honestly, Steve, even with what she did, even what I'm suggesting, if there's an individual who sits on the city council and has corruption in their heart, no matter what our best practices are, someone may always find a way. Our job is to try and limit that no matter what.
So do you feel like she painted you with the brush of corruption and the other ethical?
Absolutely, 100%. And the process we've done in my ward actually removes me from making unilateral decisions, because I put together a zoning committee that handles businesses and licensing of individuals from the ward, and they come up with the decisions for me.
So Alderman Lopez, what did her speech then do to being a constructive mayor? What did her speech do to her chances of working with the city council going forward?
You know, for me, the mayor has said that she wants an independent council that's not just a rubber stamp, that's willing to do the give and take and have an open discussion. But if you're going to label me in broad strokes, when you don't even know what I do, when you don't even know what we do in my neighborhoods, that's offensive. It's outrageous, because to label me as someone who's gone to jail just because I happen to have been elected to this council is wrong. It's insulting to my people. It's insulting to the individuals who give up their time to make sure that we do things in an above board manner. And if you're not even willing to listen to that, but you just want to throw out these political charges and get everyone fired up to create some false illusion that we're all, 50 of us, are corrupt, you know, I don't know how you build a working relationship when that's the first thing you do right out the gate.
Ray Lopez is an alderman in what ward is it?
What's 15th Ward.
15th Ward. So that'd be southwest
side? Southwest side, yes, sir.
Of Chicago. I appreciate you coming in today. By the way, Producer Elif just handed us some language. Is that the language of her executive order? Is that what you brought in, Elif? Let's just look at that for a quick commercial break and then comment it when we come back. Alderman Ray Lopez is in our studio. He was there when Mayor Lightfoot called out the city council for being corrupt. She said aldermanic privilege is going to end. Not that those are synonymous, although she intimated that they're really good cousins. And she said, things are going to change. You have her executive order in front of you. What's the operative sentence in that?
You know, she makes mention that as soon as practicable, no department shall defer to aldermanic prerogative in their decision-making unless expressly required by the municipal code, and that her departments have 60 days to come up with this language. But I think also what's important to recognize is that she says that anyone applying for anything under this new executive order will be given an answer in 90 days by the law department. And that's just not based in any kind of reality. We all know the city does not work at breakneck speed. Even right now, to get a ticket for a vacant lot with fly dumping, it takes the city of Chicago 6 months at least to process what just happened. And for her to walk in saying that everything's going to be whipped into shape and we'll be cranking out answers in less than, 3 months, is just simply not based in reality.
Well, she's new. Maybe she'll discover that the gears of government don't operate as quickly as they do in the private sector.
Or she'll have to bloat bureaucracy to such an extent and hire hundreds and hundreds of more people to try and focus on implementing this order.
We're out of time, but aldermanic privilege is complicated. We've discovered that, if nothing else, in this conversation with you. And it can be problematic. It can be the seat of corruption. You say it's maybe not the first domino, but at least it's part of the chain, and that's problematic for people. And when I challenged you about that, you said, look, 30 of my predecessors have gone to jail, but how many haven't? This texter said, how many more have not gone to jail? What a quote. I mean, really, 30 is a big number. One should not have gone to jail. That 30 have, to me, is damning. It's not praise.
No, it shouldn't be construed as praise. But how many people have served in the city council honorably and without putting their fingers in the till? And we often overlook that you do have good, solid individuals who do this job and have used these powers correctly. And we overlook that for the sake of argument.
I know that you felt falsely accused today, that's for sure. Maybe some of your colleagues did as well. It was a hell of a speech. You heard it live here on WGN Radio and in parts on this show. I'm so glad you were able to run over here, Ray. I appreciate not only meeting you in person for the first time, but thanks for your thoughts on this.
Thank you, John.
Ray Lopez.